from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
The Bills have signed 4-year veteran Terrell Burgess.
You know, you want them competing and you want guys pushing each other to the edge and trying not to cross it. So you try to be ready. We're all trying to make each other better. These are brothers and they're competitive and they're all fighting for jobs.
Give Brandon Bean a lot of credit.
The camp Josh Allen's had, which I think you can make an argument it's been the best training camp he's ever had.
Vaughn is Vaughn. 40 is back.
Mike Danger.
So a break for the Bills, a day off. We're back in studio before returning back to St. John Fisher tomorrow. The week wraps for the team with the return of the blue and the red at Highmark Stadium on Friday.
Gene Battaglia.
I don't have the 36 years that Mike Catalana has, but you know what I have, Danger? I got 25. My first camp was at Fredonia. I have watched these camps every single year. There's somebody that looks great, and you're like, yeah, but.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
You're back in the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. Let's get caught up with our buddy Bart Winkler. You can hear him late nights on the Infinity Sports Network right here on 95.7 The Fan and AM 950. Bart, since last time we spoke, the Green Bay Packers quarterback became the highest paid quarterback of all time in Jordan Love. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I got my third straight quarterback. That's good. Now, the other two I end up not liking as people afterwards, but I'm going to enjoy this one while I still like them, so that's good.
So, Bart, I mean, I had people telling me Jordan Love is going to be the highest paid quarterback when these deals come out here this preseason. I'm like, it was 8 games. There's no way they're going to make it. It was 8 games. And then, sure enough, yeah, they make him the highest paid quarterback. I guess Green Bay doesn't have a choice, but, man, that feels like quite the investment in somebody who, for half of last season, still looked like he was figuring it out.
So you fall into the 8-game trap too? Is that what's happening?
Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, they're paying him for what he's going to do.
Yes.
Okay? And that's what all these quarterbacks are doing. And you did hit on the main point, which is something that I have been harping on to death. And I feel very redundant when I talk about it, but I keep saying it because it's the truth, and I would love to look at these contracts and get all worked up. I would love to look at Tua's deal and get all worked up. I would love to look at Lawrence's deal and get all worked up, but I can't, because what happens in this league now is when you have a quarterback, you have to pay the guy if he's good. And I think everybody has gone through this scenario pretty well. There's a lot of teams this offseason that didn't have a good quarterback, so they got rid of him, whether it was Kenny Pickett or Sam Howell or whoever. And there's a lot of teams that have a good quarterback, and so you pay the guy. That's just where we're at. The option that people are looking for is, well, don't pay Jordan Love. Don't pay. Well, what are they going to do? There's nothing else to do. There's no other way. You don't put 3 years into a guy as a backup and then have him play. See that he does play very well. And yes, the second half of the season was better than the first, but there's enough there that you're thinking, okay, I think we got our guy. You have to pay the guy if he's good. That's just how it works. And there's a lot of quarterbacks that are good enough to get paid. The money's astronomical. I understand that. If you look at the salary cap breakdown, this is basically, so it's a four-year, $220 million deal. It's basically three for $150. Because the last year, it's like a $75 million thing, which they're going to, you know, give another extension or say bye at that point. But he's getting a bunch of money up front. It's not more than 13% of the salary cap in any time. So I have a hard time understanding, well, why is it reported as so much money? But it is. Either way, I'm satisfied with the play that they got of Jordan Love, that he is going to continue to be the quarterback of the Packers, if for no other reason, then what else are they going to do?
Well,
it sucks, but that's the truth.
I get it. I mean, and look, the guy was going to make, what, $10.5 million before this extension, so I understand why he's like, no, I need a new deal, because I would certainly say he's worth more than $10.5 million. So the Packers do what they do with Jordan Love. What took Miami so long to make up their mind on Tua?
Well, I think the problem with Tua is, and here's like the other thing with this, is if you have a quarterback that is good, you have to pay him, right? Because what is the other scenario? I just went over that very eloquently, I would say. But then the other question is, okay, well, if we pay him, are we going to get a Super Bowl out of this? And I think, some teams can – I mean, it is the best. It really is the best option for Miami. It is the best option to pay him, and I think they structured it a little differently. Their structure is he's getting a chunk of the cap. Like, I think the next couple of years, he's 1/5 of the cap. And so what they're doing is saying, okay, if we're going to win with Tua, it's going to be in the next couple of years, and then we've got an easier out. I think the Packers set theirs up where they do believe they're going to give him another contract after this one. I think the Dolphins gave themselves a little more room, saying, all right, let's think that he's our guy now, but we still maybe have some long-term concerns, if for nothing else than the injuries and the concussions and all that kind of stuff. The other thing is, as I was saying, are we going to win a Super Bowl with this guy? I think when we were doing this show last Friday, when both of these stories came out, a lot of people that were calling in were – okay, I mean, it was basically the same call every night. It was, or all night. It was, wow, Jordan Love, you know, half a season. Okay, but I get it, though, because I'd rather pay him than Tua, which was kind of the resounding sentiment. So, again, if you have a quarterback, what were they going to do? Skylar Thompson? But are they going to win a Super Bowl because of Tua? I don't know. It's just a really weird situation where we're in, and we still have Dak to get paid. We're going to get Brock Purdy at some point. At some point, Josh Allen's going to be like, wait a minute here. I know I signed a long deal, but I'm getting $12, $15, $20 million less than Trevor Lawrence. So it's going to get even worse if you're somebody that hates these big contracts.
I'm curious about the switch. Bart Winkler is our guest here, because with Jordan Love beginning, you're watching that even, Bart, you're like, I don't know if this is it. And then all of a sudden, boom, it was it. We've seen other quarterbacks just get the numbers of reps. Eli Manning right at the top of the list in my mind, like he was brutal at the beginning. And then it was about game 10, like, wait, there is something here. So the question is about Jordan Love. What caused the switch to all of a sudden where he all of a sudden started to look like this quarterback you could build around?
I think maybe I talked about this with you guys, but I was so perplexed about if they were doing this with Jordan Love, trying to figure out if he was the guy. Why are you doing it where he has all these rookie receivers, and I think Christian Watson was hurt for most of this time, and all these rookie tight ends? Like, why are you giving him a bunch of guys that also are trying to learn how to play in the NFL together? Why can't he, this is a tough situation for him. But I think as they all kind of developed through that, they all got better together. And once the receivers started playing better, Jordan Love was playing better. There's a lot of throws that if you go back and watch, it's like, wow, that was a really great throw, but it was also a really great catch. And so sometimes there is two parts to this equation. Also, I think that Jordan Love, they baked him for 3 years. I don't know that he is good if he just starts as a rookie. And I don't know which quarterbacks, it benefits. I don't know which quarterbacks it would hurt. You know, you look at some of these guys that are going to play this year, it looks like Drake May is going to sit. Are we going to look back and say, oh, gosh, Drake May should have started right away? Are we going to look back and say, Caleb Williams shouldn't have started right away? I don't know. But I know in the case of the Packers, like, I don't think Aaron Rodgers gets anywhere near the career he had if he played as a rookie. He threw weird. They had to change his whole motion. And I don't think Jordan Love is anywhere near this if he played as a rookie. There's some Aaron Rodgers-type stuff that he does, similar to how there was some Favre-type stuff that Rodgers did. So I think that the process that they went through, while it sucks in the moment because you think, why are we drafting this guy in the first round when we're a player away from the Super Bowl or whatever fans think, I thought, it does pay off when you give this guy essentially 3 years to learn how to do your job before your first day of work. So I think that was a big part of it, too.
Now, Bart, we wanted to have you on with us today, not just to talk about the Packers' move with Jordan Love, but selfishly, we love when you talk about Aaron Rodgers. We know you're going to talk about him in glowing praise in terms of just, you know, high praise. And I don't think we've had you on since mandatory minicamp. I know we haven't had you on since we had Robert Saleh say that, you know, he's fairly certain his gut tells him that Aaron Rodgers shouldn't play any of this preseason. Does this feel like it fits the Aaron Rodgers recipe that you've come to know and hate over his last few years in Green Bay?
I know that many fans of your program are also diehard fans of mine. So I would like them to pay close attention that if you ever hear me just like go into a tirade about how much I hate Aaron Rodgers as a person, I'm doing it because I have nothing else to say. And that's kind of like, you know, a comedian just falls back on their greatest bit. That's what I'm doing. Again, the thing with Aaron Rodgers is the Jets have had him for 4 plays. And do you know how much time and energy that Jets fans, that the league has spent on this man for 4 plays? The offseason, the stuff in training camp now, where he's like fake yelling at these dudes. The Egypt thing, the vice president thing. I mean, it's always something with Aaron Rodgers, and now there's even less payoff for the time being. When he was at the Packers, it's like, okay, I can deal with all these interviews, and I can deal with all these weird comments, and I can deal with how he's trying to make a pretzel of the English language because at least he gets us to the NFC Championship game before he chokes. But now, with the Jets, it's all this stuff, and he's giving you 4 plays. And now he's not going to play in the preseason because the Achilles isn't healed yet. When last year, after 2 months, he was telling Pat McAfee, oh, I might be able to play by December 1st. And everybody just ate it up. When Rodgers talks, that's not a verifiable news source, okay? We got to stop treating Rodgers like he is a source, like he has information. Rodgers is a liar. Rodgers is a weird person. Rodgers is a psycho. Rodgers is not a reliable dude with information. So we need to stop giving him the time and oxygen that we give him. Clearly, I am handling my emotions well.
All you just said about Rodgers, I mean, I think there's a career in politics. I really do. I mean, you just described a perfect politician moving forward.
I was trying to be facetious and coy about that, but you did call me on it, yes.
Here's what I don't like about what the NFL did here, Bart. Okay, so the Jets open against San Francisco. I would figure that as a loss, but you don't need Aaron Rodgers at the beginning of the schedule. You get Will Levis, Jacoby Brissett, Bo Nix, another rookie in Minnesota, and then a Monday night game, Buffalo going to New York. You know the Jets are going to be everybody's darling in October. Plug your ears here, Bart.
Well, if they win, but again, I don't know. I was so excited last year to watch Rodgers play because I thought he was going to be bad. Now, I don't know what we're going to get from him this season, and there is still very much the potential that he's good. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, you know, the Jets could be good, because you remember in your brain the good times of Aaron Rodgers. I remember in my brain the last I saw of Aaron Rodgers, which was a game against the Lions,
yep,
where he looked like he didn't want to be there with a playoff berth on the line, where the Lions had nothing to play for, and he was throwing interceptions like he was playing the game 500. It was a disaster. So I don't know, a year and a half removed from that, after an injury, if Rodgers is going to be good. Like, I still think he can throw the football well, and he's got a great zip to the ball, and his, you know, decision making is probably good. I've always thought he was one of the smarter quarterbacks in the league, but we still haven't seen him much with this team, with this offense, and with these players. So there is still very much the chance that this could blow up in their face. It could be bad. I think, yeah, the schedule is maybe advantageous in terms of who they're playing. But that's just on the Jets' defensive side. I don't know that Rodgers is going to perform well. He might. He also might not. People are just assuming he does. I'm assuming he might not. They have a lot of weird primetime games. They're going to be on TV a lot. So he's got to step up to that pressure. And again, he's got to stay healthy. So if I'm a Bills fan, if I'm a Dolphins fan, I'm not worrying about the Jets until the Jets give me something to worry about.
Bart, before we let you go, I just want to quickly get your thoughts as we kind of zoom out the lens a little bit in the AFC and in the NFC. Are there teams that you see standing up? Because right now in the AFC, I have a hard time seeing a team looking better than what Kansas City looked like last year. I need to see it with my own eyes and be like, oh, that team can rival Kansas City, because right now it feels like it's Kansas City and everybody else. Do you feel the same way, and what are your thoughts on how the NFC is kind of shaping up here through the course of the preseason?
All right, so I'm just going to freestyle and give you thoughts on teams as they come to my head.
Very good.
The Chiefs, I think people are going to say, well, the Chiefs aren't going to repeat because there's never been a three-time Super Bowl champion, and they're going to discredit them right away when they forget that the Chiefs are amazing. And basically New England part two, and maybe even could be better. The Chiefs have had all these things thrown at them. They trade their best receiver, win a couple of Super Bowls. They have all these like weird off-the-field problems that might sink any other team, and the Chiefs just keep rolling with the punches. The Chiefs last year, I think it was on Christmas, they lost to the Raiders,
yeah,
looked terrible. And then they just go ahead and turn it on and win a Super Bowl. So I am not, like you, doubting the Chiefs until somebody beats them. They don't care. You want to have an AFC championship game in Baltimore? Okay, we'll go play there, and then we'll embarrass you. So, yeah, the Chiefs, I think, should be the favorite. I'm high on Baltimore. I still am high on Lamar. I like the Derrick Henry addition there. I think that the Chargers are eventually going to be good, but I'm not putting them as one of my playoff teams quite yet. I think a lot of people are in on Harbaugh and Herbert, and that's fine. I don't think the rest of that roster is that great. Who else do I like? I'm curious to see how the AFC South goes. If Anthony Richardson can stay healthy, that might add something to that equation. I don't think Jacksonville's as bad as they were in the last month of the season. I'm interested in Buffalo with the loss of Stephon Diggs, because sometimes that can be addition by subtraction. See Kansas City, see Green Bay with no Devontae Adams. In the NFC, I can't give you a real breakdown of the San Francisco 49ers, because I have said I think they're going to miss the playoffs, but I only say that out of a portion of hatred, because
yeah,
I don't like them. So I can't give you a real breakdown on them. Who else do I like? I think that the Lions probably still win the North, but the Packers will be right there. I'm more optimistic about the Bears than Bears fans are, because I do believe in Caleb Williams, and I think Atlanta is going to be better. I don't think they ever win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. Maybe they do with Penix Jr., but I think they're going to be better in the NFC. Just spitballing some stuff off the top of my brain.
So, Bart, after years of doing morning radio in Milwaukee, now you're national late at night. What's that been like going from one time to another here?
It's like the... it's the most aggressive change you can do in this business, I think. It is wild. It's weird. The weird thing about it is I get up like at a reasonable hour, I think, and I do stuff around the house and I do, you know, work related things, and then I'm with my kid and then I'm doing all this stuff. So I like live a human day and then I have to go to work.
Yeah.
That's a little different. I like being the morning guy because you kind of get the first crack at things, and I've always liked that. But there's part of that I do like about being on at night. Like, the schedule's just different to adjust, but the fact that when an NBA Finals game ends and I'm the one on the air, the fact that I'm going to have Monday night and Thursday night football and I'm the one on the air, I'm going to make such a huge deal about this Hall of Fame game tomorrow, even though it's going to suck, just because we're going to have a game,
yeah,
and you get to be on the air right away. Like, there is, you know, with the morning, you know, there's nothing that happens during the show, really, except for a rare occasion. So you plan it out and you know your steps. But with the late night show, when things are happening and things are finishing, there's a little more spontaneity to it, which I like that. So while it's weird, it's still weird for me to work at those hours. There's a part of it that I do enjoy that you just cannot get in the morning.
Go say hey to Zach Gelb for us, Bart. We'll listen for you tonight on the Fan. And thanks for making time for us, as always, buddy.
Anytime, guys. Hope to talk soon.
You got it.
Thanks, Bart.
Bart Winkler. You'll hear him later tonight, late night on Infinity Sports Network here on the Fan, Rochester. And I think he's done with us. He's going to go and say hi to our buddy Zach Gelb, who's on the Infinity Sports Network right now.
We're warming him up there for the national show. I think his line about Aaron Rodgers being a comedian's best bit, like, what would be our best bit?
Ooh,
like, hey, it's a slow day. Let's listen to the best of Masterstroke.
Yeah, right, Masterstroke is probably still our best bit. And now we're so removed from it. I mean, it really, that was like the infancy of the sports bar, like year two of the sports bar. We've been on the air now for 8 years, and you know, we haven't worked with Masterstroke now in almost as much time as we have worked with him,
yeah,
right?
That's wild.
You know, when he was here and present and daily, we could, you know, pick his brain and let him kind of on his face.
Pick his brain. He'd be coming in your office. You know, I really think the Bills are going to win.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah. I've done my research, and I've read the articles, and I love the guy. But, man, I mean, like, that was... It, you know, if you're new to the show and you hear us say Masterstroke, we got plenty of like kind of inside things. And if you listen every day, you know about it. You probably are wondering, like, if you're new to the show, what the hell's up with these guys and the Mike Francesa drop?
Oh, who cares?
And the nine times.
Nine times.
Masterstroke. And we've got a handful of those that are kind of like our fallback best bits. But we try not to relay.
Yeah, we don't rely on them too
much. Yeah, we don't want to rely on it too much, especially the Masterstroke, because it was just so good for such a good period of time there.
I kept thought, okay, he's going to hit it right. They kept getting worse and worse.
No, I mean, the bit died when he was right, because nobody cares. Nobody cares when Masterstroke is right. We only wanted him to flame out horrifically, like he did with his original prediction that Nathan Peterman was a smart decision over Tyrod Taylor. I mean, we'll never, ever forget that moment, that day. I mean, we just, our eyes, before we got on the air that day, I'll always remember it. He came into my office and our eyes got wide and we're like, you know what, dude, come on the air with us. Come on the air with us and share your take on Nathan Peterman.
This is a masterstroke by McDermott.
Anything more than what Tyrod did last week, I would consider thriving for a Buffalo Bills quarterback.
Then that should be Peterman's stats after the first quarter.
Peterman is going to make mistakes. He might not make it out of the first half.
I have been waiting since week one, and I think that Peterman, from everything we've seen in preseason and in the little bit in New Orleans... I think he's the man.
Dom, I'm warning you.
You watch, Gene.
You are crazy. Why can't it be us? Dude, you're going to be so disappointed.
I'm not.
Monday.
There is no way I'm going to be disappointed Monday.
Thus, a legend was born. That was the beginning of Masterstroke. And if you missed it, if you forgot, he was disappointed on Monday. Peterman made it through the first half, but yeah, that was it.
Yeah, the first quarterback ever to throw five interceptions in the half.
But you saw, I mean, I remember I was at that New Orleans game. Tyrod was terrible in that New Orleans game. New Orleans just absolutely embarrassed the Bills at home, and McDermott just looked outmatched as a coach. Like, Sean Payton was embarrassing him. They still had Drew Brees at the time. I mean, New Orleans was still a good team, well-oiled machine, and Tyrod's out there like a buffoon. Just like they couldn't get out of their own way. They pull Tyrod late in the game, and everybody in the stadium goes berserk for Nathan Peterman. And I'm like, this is a mistake. This is not going to work the way you guys think it's going to work. There's a reason why he's a sixth-round draft pick. I can't get excited about Nathan Peterman as your starting quarterback. There's a reason why he's a sixth-round draft. And sure enough, against the Chargers the following week, it didn't get any better, and Masterstroke was born. Yeah, that's probably number one on the list. But if you're, look, every now and then, we try to keep it open, and we try to reset takes and reset stories. Like when we say Mr. Mayo, you know, Gene does a good job of saying, why do we call him Mr. Mayo? Because the first time you interviewed Gerard Mayo, he was a rookie, and you mispronounced his name.
His first name, I called him Jared, and he corrected me, which that made me feel. And as a professional, that's something you got to know going into it. So I felt terrible, but then your mind starts to play tricks on you. Like, wait, is it Jared or Gerard? Is it Gerard or Jared? I'm thinking, I can't make the same mistake twice. So he's done with the interview. And what do? I thank the 21-year-old Mr. Mayo.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayo.
Yeah, you're a grown man, grown-ass man, talking to a 21-year-old, calling him Mr. Mayo because you couldn't remember how to pronounce his first name. That's a good one. Of course, Chuck Muncy is a good one. I mean, you know, like if you wonder why we talk about Chuck Muncy, it's because Chuck Muncy is to Gene Battaglia what Baba Booey is to Howard Stern.
When I was in college, I hosted just the college radio show, and I would be thinking that I was taking real callers from the Bronx, but little did I know, it was just people goofing on me, and they would segue some point over to Chuck Muncy. And that wasn't a story I wanted to bring to the air. It was because, well, this all started the Heat game. The one where the Bills lost early in the year, September, where it was 100 degrees or whatever it was in Miami. And we get a call that's making all these legitimate points from what I remember. Hey, Josh Allen can't do it all himself. He needs more help. He needs a running back.
Right.
Someone
we got excited because we get a call from outside of the Rochester Metro. I'm like, oh, hey, wow. Joe is listening in the Odyssey app in Schenectady.
I just wanted to say one other thing. Look, that they need a big, strong, powerful runner. Somebody like a Chuck Muncy. I think.
There it is. There it is.
Darn it.
Gino got trolled. Yeah, Joe. I love it.
I have to explain what that was and who Chuck Muncy was. But then as you learn more about Chuck Muncy, you're like, wow, I remember him. I like him.
I love Chuck Muncy as a player. I remember him with the Chargers. He was fantastic. He's part of that Dan Fouts, yes. Eric Coryell. He was great. Yeah, I have great, fond memories of Chuck Muncy before he overdosed, freebase. He used to freebase in the locker room.
He would freebase before the game, and baseball had their uppers. And yes, in the 80s, you would freebase.
And Chuck Muncy's life cut short. I don't know how much that addiction led to that short life, but he is forever immortalized in our studio with the picture behind Gino there that I picked up at the Collectibles show a few weeks ago. Chuck Muncy as a New Orleans Saint. Just getting himself cleaned up there after probably taking a very vicious, violent hit. Somebody holding his horn rim glasses. Got some smelling salts. No blue tent back in the 70s.
No, just smelling salts. Get up.
No blue tent back in the 70s. Appreciate Bart Winkler stopping by. It's always fun catching up with him. And again, listen to the Fan Rochester later tonight. Bart's on after 10 o'clock after JR Sport Brief, and he always brings it. It's fantastic. Gino, I know you've got some takes that you want to share. We've got a couple of headlines from around the NFL to get to. Happy hour is less than a half an hour away.
Yeah,
as well.
I got takes. There is going to be this name on defense that I think will get traded before the start of the NFL season. Is it a fit for Buffalo or not? I want to explore that a little bit. And you were talking about like inside jokes. Like sports provides this opportunity for inside jokes. I'm going to bring up another name here.
Okay, we'll get to that and more next. We've got a couple of headlines to get to from the Buffalo Bills and from the NFL as well. And if you want to join us, you're welcome to anytime at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326. You can engage with us on X at The Fan Rochester. And don't forget about our Twitch stream at twitch.tv/TheFanRochester or our YouTube channel. Like and subscribe there. You can engage with us, comment on our YouTube channel as well, where we are streaming live.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Another transaction for the Buffalo Bills coming in is a safety, Terrell Burgess. Voice of the Bills, Chris Brown, with more.
Burgess, a University of Utah grad, much like Cole Bishop. So, a couple of Utah Utes at the same position there, although one is currently spelling the other. But he and Kareem Jackson suddenly will be needed here, and they're going to have to be quick on the uptake.
Bills practice tomorrow, 9:45 at St. John Fisher University. On the Major League scoreboard, a grand slam for DJ LeMahieu. Yankees over the Phillies, 6-5. The Orioles get a grand slam from Jackson Holliday, who was just called up. 10-4, they defeat the Jays. Nationals and Diamondbacks tied at 1. They're in the fourth. The Braves have gone up on the Brewers, 6-2. And they're in the eighth. The Red Wings are going to win in 10 today. Gene Battaglia, The Fan Rochester.
Meet or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Yeah, Yankee fans, you can thank me directly for today's win.
Oh, what did you put money on?
I mean, LeMahieu has been largely horrible for a long time. So your boy over here decided, you know what? I'm going to bet the under 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs for DJ LeMahieu, who hit a grand slam today.
Yeah,
that's because I bet him.
Swing of the bat,
that's
and you lose.
Because I bet him.
Good day,
you're welcome, Yankee fans. July has absolutely kicked me in the teeth with Major League Baseball sports betting.
Well, if there's one constant in this baseball season, it's been, hey, this team's really good. Oh, no, they suck. Oh, wait, they're back. Oh, no, they're back. Like, isn't like every team? So, like, if you're down on the Phillies, just kind of wait. And if you think the Yankees have fixed all their problems, just kind of wait. Sure. It's going to be a great postseason, I'll tell you that.
All right, this will be the true test as to whether or not I've become a mush. Because, like I said, July has been terrible. Can you look this up for me? I know that right now, in the bottom of the second, the Red Sox are up on the Mariners 1-0. Mm-hmm. I bet a no run first inning between the Mariners and the Red Sox. Do we have a run in the first inning in that one?
Yeah,
don't we?
That was the Sox in the bottom of the first.
Bottom of the first, yeah. Sox got their run.
Yeah.
So there you go. I am absolutely ice cold. I should just share what I'm betting just so y'all can make money. Just fade everything that I put out there because it is. I can't wait for July to be over.
Well, speaking of fading, and this was PJ Glasser's play today that we've got this in progress here, and we didn't mention it in the update. The U.S. men's basketball team, like, are they in a no-win situation? What? Yes, you got to win, but we need you to win big. Point spread against South Sudan today, 29.5. So the United States has to win by 30. We've got 5:23 remaining in this contest. The U.S. leading South Sudan, 87-70.
Ooh, 17.
It's going to be a sweat.
Yeah, a little bit of a sweat. Hey, if you're a Patriot fan right now, how are you feeling about the dynamic between head coach and your best player on defense?
Well, what made this unusual was it was right out in front of everybody. Usually, hey, there's a contract issue. You have the professional, the agent, whoever the representation is. You're dealing with the GM offline, and this is Ron Wolf's kid that's running the show there. But this was in front of everybody. So
sloppy.
Sloppy. Yeah, the Patriot way, it's extinct. Okay, so Matthew Judon, can we agree on this? Still a good player in this league.
Yes. But if I know where you're going with this.
Well, okay, so I'm just looking through the 2024 lens, okay? So Judon wants a new contract, naturally, okay? Because every team could use a pass rusher, including Buffalo, okay? You haven't found that Leonard Floyd replacement yet on this team. Maybe somebody pops up. Maybe Greg Rousseau has this awesome start to the season. But if I'm going to answer the question, would this make sense for Buffalo? The answer is no. I mean, remember, Leonard Floyd worked because that was a one-year deal. Judon wants a new contract. We're not talking about a one-year deal here. And, well, he just wants to win. No, he wants to get paid.
That's right.
Just like how Hassan Reddick, he wanted to get paid too in Philadelphia. Ah, we can't do that. Trade him the Jets. The Jets thought they were so much smarter. Oh, he's going to come here. He's going to want to be a part of this. No, he wants a new deal.
Yeah, and he's on the reserve list right now. He's not even with the team.
Right. Yeah. So how does this Judon situation play out? Look, he's going to get traded. And just kind of like how D-Hop and some of these guys, oh, they want to win. No, they want to get paid. Here's my prediction, Danger. It's a team with money to spend and a team that is kind of fringy. Maybe they can get to the postseason. How about your Bears?
I just don't know that Matthew Judon's act plays anywhere. He just got a new deal last year, didn't he? I think he just got a new deal last year.
He's entering the last year of his deal right now.
So whatever they did last year, restructure, whatever they did, and then you got the issue again this year. And I just don't think he's what he was when he was a Raven. His best years are behind him, but he still wants to get paid as if he was producing the way he was in Baltimore. And I just haven't seen it.
Well, part of this, too, is who they're paying. Like, they paid Ramondre Stevenson. Like, why are you paying the running back? What are
we
doing?
No, they paid the other guy, Godshaw. I think just got his extension today, I want to say. Today or within the last 48 hours. They haven't done it with Judon. And you know what? The point that Winkler made earlier, and it's a point that I will own up to it. Like, I always forget, it's easy for me to forget, that what you're paying for isn't past production, it's future production. So the Packers paying what they're paying for Jordan Love shouldn't be about the 8 games that he was good last season. It should be about the multiple games that he's going to be good for them in the future. You're paying for the future production. And if you view it through that lens, which I struggle to do sometimes, I don't know what Matthew Judon is in 2024 and beyond. We haven't seen a consistent Matthew Judon since Baltimore. One good season in New England, right?
That season in New England.
One good season.
Right, but if you put him in a different environment, I know Raven fans are like, come on back here. Just don't go to Kansas City. If you're New England, you don't care. Like, New England should be, all right, who's going to give us some good draft capital here?
Yeah. To answer your question, I don't want him. And the Bears need a pass rusher. They do need a pass rusher. But I don't know that I want you. If they got him, I wouldn't be excited about it, but I get it. I would get the move because you need it, but I wouldn't be excited about it because I don't know what he is in 2020.
He's going to go to some team that has some money that's really not a contender, and he'll get his payday and get his 7 or 8 sacks.
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible.
Sports Danger. This one came across. This was actually from last weekend, and follow me on this because it gives us an opportunity. If like you listen to our show, okay, you like sports. But I'm talking about like you really, really like sports. It's been just a passion, right? You and I and everybody else that have that passion, we can kind of talk in code. You've ever done this?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. So let me
just talk about talking in code? I mean, a lot of our show is spoken in code.
I'm talking about in the real world.
Oh, though. In the real world.
In the real
well.
World, yeah. You can talk code with your buddies. It's a great way to communicate. And sometimes these code words can last years. They can last decades. In this case, you know, we're going to call it a lifetime here because I have a good friend of mine. I'm changing the names to protect everybody. And
why?
Because.
No?
Well.
Okay.
Let me finish the story.
Oh, okay.
I ran into his ex. Now, when I say ex, I'm not talking about ex-wife. I'm somebody that dated. We're talking like, you know, college.
When we were all dumb kids.
Right, dumb kids. Yeah. And look, we're all nice to one another now. Everything is fine. Everything is cool. But after he was done dating this girl, a woman, again, nice woman, she ended up with some guy that, we and a few of our other friends gave a code word for this guy because we didn't like him. Behind his back, we called him Uwe.
Uwe?
Uwe. Now, this is...
Is that pig Latin? What is that?
No. This is the Sports Reference. This is the deep pull danger. In the 1980s, there was a center for the Indiana Hoosiers named Uwe Blob. Do you remember Uwe Blob?
I don't.
This guy was...
That's an all-timer, though.
Oh, come on. You don't remember Uwe Blob?
I don't think I do.
Uwe Blob, he wasn't a great NBA player, but a great college player for Bobby Knight.
Uh-huh.
And look, just kind of thick because the guy, his personality, his physical look, we can't call him a Blob, but we can call him an Uwe.
Yeah.
So I told my close buddy there, hey, you know, I ran at so-and-so. Oh, was Uwe there? Yep.
Still with Uwe.
Yep. How's Uwe? Uwe's still Uwe.
Which is code for Uwe still sucks, right? Yeah. When you ask somebody how they're doing or how so-and-so is doing, or if you talk to somebody about their kids, their family, you run through, you know, because I'll use my family as an example. I don't believe this, but, you know, how's Alexa doing? I hear she's at Mercy. Oh, yeah, Alexi's great. She's at Mercy. She's going into her sophomore year, and she's having a great time and you know, making great friends and great connections and really challenged. It's a good spot for her. Yeah, and how's your older daughter, Leah? Oh, you know, Leah's Leah. That's code for, yeah, Leah's a problem. Now, Leah's not a problem. That's just the example I would use, but you have friends that will say that.
Yeah. Look, you have one in your family you don't even know that I know. Because I work, you know, I do RIT hockey, and like I hear the stories from the other side. where there was some sort of event and your wife and your sister.
Oh, I'll tell the story. I know exactly where you go. And it was 4th of July.
Yes.
We had a family get together. We were in our backyard. We had the fire pit going. And as our neighborhood is prone to do, somebody bought a massive amount of fireworks and we were going to watch the fireworks. Now, the mosquitoes were out that night. They were pesky. They weren't terrible.
But you're around the fire.
But we're around the fire and we're enjoying it. We're late. We're chilling out and we're in our lawn chairs and we're waiting for the fireworks show. And all the women in the family say, you know what? I don't think we're going to be able to see it very well from back here. Let's go for a walk and let's see if we can find a better place to watch the fireworks. And plus the mosquitoes and the whole thing. And so me and my brother-in-law are back there. We're both sports guys. We're both, you know, big sports guys. We riff on it all the time. We're looking at them. And a few moments after they leave, the fireworks go off. And they're magnificent. They're right above our heads. I mean, we're watching this, like, awesome fireworks show that one of the neighbors put on. And we lose track of where the girls were. They went on their walk. And they come back from their walk. And they're like, we couldn't see anything. That wasn't great. And we dubbed that incident the morning wag. It's a morning wag. And so now whenever somebody makes a bad decision, it's a morning wag, which dates back to Marty Morning Wag as the head coach of the Detroit Lions deferring in overtime, back when you could defer in overtime, right? Like,
no, nobody would ever defer. It was right. Like you always wanted the ball because you scored first, whether it was a field goal, a touchdown, whatever.
That was the
you
old rule.
You don't get another possession. Yeah. So he elected to kick off.
And it was against the Bears.
The Bears won
because they got the ball first. They promptly scored, and the Lions were dysfunctional, and Morning Wag was terrible, and that was an awful decision. It's a Morning Wag. And so, we still to this day, that's a Morning Wag. What are we doing? No, we can't make that play. We can't make that call there. That's a Morning Wag. You talk in sports code all the time. I think if you listen to this show, you probably do it more than you even realize you do it. I say it to my, I do it with my family, and I know they don't understand. Like, I could say to them, all right, guys, we're going to call an audible on today. They don't know what that means. I have no idea what that means.
No, but I can just say myself, I mean, after seeing pictures of the video on camera, you know, on social there, I'm becoming a little bit of an Uwe there. I got to kind of like shut
the Uwe
is, yeah, the Uwe.
You're saying you're becoming an Uwe blob?
No, Uwe blob.
So B-L-A-B.
Blob.
But it was pronounced blob.
Yeah.
So if you're from Rochester, Uwe blab.
Uwe blab.
I think Uwe blab was a good center for Indiana. I like Uwe blab. I'm going to go to Bill Gray's and get a great plate.
By the way, Bill Gray's has agreed to get us great plates over a camp.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Did we talk about this on the air? Or was this all an off-air conversation?
It was.
It all blurs together when we're at camp. That and the heat stroke.
I started on Axe putting out a Twitter poll, and then we ran it past Maddie when we had Maddie Glab on.
That's right.
Maddie was very cool, gave us some great info, but basically, hey, which one Bills Live personality would be the most likely to enjoy Rochester's finest a plate? And I put it out there. Brownie, Tasker, Maddie, producer Jay Harris. Winning the poll, 42%.
Tasker. Yeah, it's got to be Tasker.
Brownie was in last place, but then he was chiming in saying, I remember we talked about this.
Yeah.
Because
I'm initiated. He went to Geneseo. Yeah. He's been initiated. Maddie was telling us, and again, I don't remember if it was on air or off air, and I'm not telling tales out of school, that Tasker is notorious for inhaling his food. Like he doesn't eat, he doesn't enjoy, he inhales. In like during a break, I think famously, he once downed like an entire burrito during a commercial break.
Yeah.
That's impressive work. I think the closest I can come to matching that is I did a Mighty Pack in just over 6 minutes. That's like a taco a minute clip. That was the best I could do. But yeah, Maddie shared that little tidbit. I think they'll enjoy the plate. I think Brownie it'll take him back to his days at Geneseo. Tasker will probably view it as a challenge if we say there's no way you're going to finish that.
I don't want to put Jay Harris down a bad path because Jay Harris, like, he's in shape now.
Yeah.
Producer, like, he committed himself And yeah, I don't want to be like, oh, I'm the bad influence.
Nah, live life, man. Yeah. Live life. And I'm sure if Jay Harris is in a mode where he's taking care of himself, we know he is, he'll know that if he's going to ingest something like that, he's going to have to maybe put in a couple of extra minutes at the gym the following day. It's all good. Good. So that's next week?
That is next week.
That's awesome.
The U.S. didn't cover, 103-86, the final.
All right. Well, they get the win.
Yeah.
It was by 1 point. sorry, PJ. We'll get to happy hour next. The Bills making a move at safety. We'll tell you a little bit more about their new signing here in Terrell Burgess and what that might mean for Cole Bishop, the rest of camp. Certainly Mike Edwards, somebody that we've been monitoring with a week-to-week hamstring injury. That and a round of shots along with your phone calls. 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.